Closing out the markets, heading into a three-day holiday weekend. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Sean Hackett with Hackett Financial Advisors joins us for today's market wrap-up. Sean, obviously a volatile week in the grain and oilseed trade. I think we start there. Just take a look back at everything we saw this week. Obviously highlighted by USDA's data dump on Monday and the reaction to those numbers here, but it feels like as the trade heads into a holiday weekend, we've kind of settled things out and at least gotten things back to a quiet type of trade here as we work through Friday session.
Yeah, I mean, my experience in all the years that I've been watching grains and forecasting grains is that when you have a USDA report like Monday, that especially for corn, you know, that was such an order of magnitude shock, larger than it was anticipated to be, and then the fallout that we got from negative numbers on wheat and soybeans, my experience is that that usually is a market bottoming event, meaning that the USDA put so much supply in on that report, not only domestically but globally, that I almost feel like we just traded the largest future supplies that we're going to trade until we know better about what North American production is going to look like. And so to me, I almost feel like this could be a very important lull that we made earlier in the week in grains, especially corn, and that we could be looking at the market chipping away at that supply and chipping away at that supply as we go through the the first half of the 2026 into the growing season. And so I kind of like, especially corn, there was no follow through to the downside after Monday, and we've actually been, I think now we're almost 6-7 cents off the lows. So kind of a really interesting and I think very constructive trade when you think what people were talking about at the close on Monday after after trading.
You know, I've heard a lot of folks talking about at this point now, the markets are going to get back to supply-demand fundamentals, weather, and of course, the cash markets are going to be a big driver here, it would seem, as we move forward now towards spring planting season. Right, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, my sense is that watch cash basis. I think that's usually a barometer that's really, really important that tells you what the truth is on supply and demand. I mean, balance sheets and spreadsheets can say all kinds of numbers. Doesn't mean those spreadsheets are actually true. What's actually true is when the physical buyer and a physical seller agree to a price and they set that price, and then they set that price relative to the futures market, that tells me what the actual people think about supply and demand. And I do not believe there's going to be an exorbitant amount of supply available for sale at these current prices. And I think those that are more in the know of what the true supply demand fundamentals actually are going to be thinking this is an opportunity to extend coverage fairly aggressively. So if we see those cash basis levels firming as we go into the spring, I think that's going to give you a better read on what the actual numbers really are instead of what the USDA claimed on Monday, which oftentimes tends to be off base.
What are you seeing in terms of the weather situation? I know you track that very closely, not only here in the U.S., but in South America too. What are some key things standing out to you here mid-January when it comes to weather, Sean?
For winter wheat, we really need to be on guard for what's going to happen next week in Russia-Ukraine. They're looking at some of the coldest temperatures they've seen in that region for that time of the year. I mean, I'm thinking 40, maybe even 50 years. It's just super, super cycle cold. And there's a lot of weather models that are suggesting snow cover could be on the lighter side in many of the key areas there. I think one of the reasons winter wheat's, you know, having a better day today is the market's starting to think that, you know, starting to see what might be coming next week. And you want to get the winter wheat market excited. You want to get the shorts worried in winter wheat. You throw that kind of a weather event. And we had that kind of a weather event, if you recall, several years ago in Russia-Ukraine. And I think it put $1.50 on the market. Not that I'm projecting that's what's going to happen next week. But what I'm saying is it could be our first real weather catalyst for the new year here in 2026 is to get the winter wheat market excited. And if they short start covering on wheat, you know what happens? They cover corn, they cover soybeans, and then you get yourself kind of a grain market short covering rally. driven by a catalyst for wheat. So I think that could be something really, really important to pay attention to. And that's very, very short term, what I think might be a surprise driver. If we talk about chipping away at some of these supplies, well, that could certainly chip away at some of the future supply for winter wheat.
Thinking about the outside markets as well, there's been a lot of economic data out this week, a lot of conversations surrounding energy, crude oil, with tensions in the Middle East, the Venezuela issue, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. Outside market factors, anything key you are paying attention to that might have an influence on the ag sector, Sean?
When we look at precious metals, and we define precious metals as platinum, gold, and silver, and we look at hundreds of years of pricing data in commodities, and we look at periods where we've seen this kind of a move in gold and silver and platinum, like we've seen in the last year, they tend to precede rallies in energies and grain markets, meaning that the inflation that the precious metals pick up on, whether it's from geopolitical pressures or it's from money printing pressures, the precious metals tend to go up at least a year to a year and a half in advance. And then the other markets start to reflect that inflation when they start getting their own catalyst to move higher. And so I think what we've seen here in that asset class should be very telling for a rotation where precious metals sort of give up the ghost here, maybe to energies and grains in terms of a performance perspective. And I think if we're looking at history, precious metals going up is a leading indicator for better times ahead in grains and energies. And I think that's what I'd be anticipating later on this year.
Want to touch on the livestock sector as well, Sean, before we close out our conversation. Cattle futures finding some volatility on Friday. I know we've been waiting for cash cattle activity here this week, et cetera, as we head into the holiday weekend. What's your feeling in this cattle complex right now?
I think there's just two things that continue to be on my mind. When I look at the beef cutout price, we are at the same level today as we were last May. And we're down, I think, 20% off the highs from where that we had earlier in the year in the cash beef price. That says to me that without any real dramatic change in supply to the upside, that we're not getting any more cash response in the cash beef price. It's telling me demand's backing away. The consumer is backing away from beef. For the first time, we're seeing evidence that that's starting to happen. At the same time, we're seeing the pork cutout price for this time of the year seasonally at the highest level in about 8 years. This is a theme that I've talked about quite some time here to my customers, that I think there's going with the final rotation, or we're finally starting to see a rotation away from the beef protein side to possibly the more value-oriented pork protein side. And I think that the respective cash markets are starting to reflect that. And rumors continue to build that we're going to see a easing of this ban on imported cattle from Mexico, screwworm issue that I think is likely going to occur from what I read and from contacts that I have here in the first quarter. And I think that is another chip that takes some of the bullish fever that's been in the cattle market and takes it off. And not that it eradicates the supply tightness that we have, but it takes the pressure off. And I think the market is getting more and more nervous about that, especially with the beef with the beef cutout price faltering here and not showing any signs of life.
Sean, good thoughts as we wrap up our conversation today. Folks want to reach out to you and talk through their marketing plan and more there at Hackett Financial Advisors. What's the best way to reach you, Sean?
Our website is Hackett, H-A-C-K-E-T-T, advisors.com. Also have a Twitter page, at Faradex11. That's a good, those are two good places and resources to kind of keep an eye on what we might be thinking about the future price of agriculture.
Well, we always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. With that, Sean Hackett, Hackett Financial Advisors, thanks for joining us on today's market wrap-up. Have a great weekend, sir, and we will talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Once again, Sean Hackett with Hackett Financial Advisors joining us here today for our Friday market wrap-up here on the American Ag Network. From the American Ag Network studios, I'm Jesse Allen.